privilege to be in the house of God. Stop and think about it, living in a land of peace. We take it for granted too often, I believe, to come to church, worship every week without fear. And many people across the world that facing persecution that are don't have this privilege, and I think we need to be thankful for it. Special welcome to school teachers. Glad you're here. Make yourself at home. For our message this morning, I'd like to think about cultivating a vibrant devotional life. I need it. Suppose you do too. But in our journey of faith as a Christian, a strong devotional life is very crucial. It's very important. Without it, without a vibrant, alive, growing devotional life, our relationship and our love for Jesus will grow cold. We will die spiritually. It's just like any other relationship that we have, that if we fail to maintain it, if we fail to, or if we neglect it, if we ignore it, if we don't connect and communicate, well, what will happen? Well, the relationship will eventually break down. We will become distant. We will become disconnected. And if things aren't done to mend, repair that relationship, it will die. Now, some relationships are a little different. Think of some old friends that maybe you haven't seen for a long time. When you get back together again, you can pick up where you left off. But close friends, like husband and wife relationships, church family, and others that take regular participation to keep it going, keep it strong. It's no different than our relationship with God, and actually it's even more important than any other relationship that we have to keep it alive, keep it growing, keep connected. If I were to ask you to rate your devotional life this past week, scale of 1 to 5, what would it be? Actually, I am going to ask you that. I'd like to do something a little different here this morning. I'd like to take a quick survey, and don't be afraid. It'll be anonymous. You don't have to put your name to it, but I'd like to just pass out ballots. Alan, if you would want to pass these out. And then if you could grab those ballot baskets. And so ponder your devotional life. Okay, so this is just for Christians. Visitors, if you don't want to be involved, you don't have to. Ponder your devotional life this past week. How has it been? One to five. One being very poor. I didn't have it at all this week. I was busy. Life got hectic and I skipped out. Five being very good. I had a meaningful, vibrant, alive connection, time well spent with God. Five is possible. It should be possible as a Christian. Be honest and think about how God would view it, how God would see how God would rate it. So I'll just give a minute, think about it, write a number down, and we'll collect those. Yeah, okay, go ahead and gather them up. Do you have any extra? I did not get one.
I didn't.
Okay. So if I could have you count them and get a percentage, and if you want to take someone back with you, you can do it in the back. Take someone to help you count. If you could get a percentage for each number that you have, that'd be great. In the meantime, while he's doing that, let's turn to some examples in the Bible, characters that had a strong devotional life. You can turn to Luke 10. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Here Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She spent time with Jesus. Martha was cumbered about with many things. Mary chose the good part, and Jesus here said that it was needful. And the same is true for us today. It's needful to sit at Jesus' feet. Turn to Genesis 5. Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here Enoch had a relationship with God. He says he walked with him, and when someone walks together, it's usually a sign of you want to build that relationship. You're building a relationship. Psalm 145. David is another character that had a strong connection with God. Many, many psalms that he wrote that speak of that. Psalm 145, verse 1 says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Strong, vibrant connection with God every day. Psalm 55 is another one. Verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. All day long, connection with God. Turn to Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. A man that was devout, had a connection with God, and God was pleased with it. His prayers and his alms came up for a memorial. It was an interesting thought to me. Many others we could look at. Maybe you could think of some men that had a strong, men or women that had a strong connection with God. Any that come to your mind? Okay, Daniel. Abraham. Job. Okay. There are many in the Bible, Paul, John, Moses. All right, I was hoping he would be done by now. I think he should be. All right, thank you. Okay. And I realize this may not be a totally accurate picture for our group, but the number of youth gone and some others missing, but it gives a visual aid to inspire us, to challenge us, to keep on. know if my graph is quite accurate there. Praise the Lord, no ones. Interesting, inspire us to do some work. If my success as a Christian depends on this score that I put down, is that good enough? Is that what God is looking for? Is he looking for threes? That was my number for this week. I believe he's looking for all of us to have a five. And what are we going to do about our scores? I need to do better. What if the success of our church body depended on this number? I believe it could make a huge difference. Our devotion to God makes all the difference in our spiritual success or spiritual failure. What can we do about it? Well, we need to cultivate it. We need to work at it. We need to pull the weeds. That's what you do in cultivating. You pull the weeds. You dig it up. You fertilize it. You compost it. You water it. Whatever it takes to promote growth. Cultivating takes effort. Takes hard work. And it takes more than just going through the motions 5 minutes a day. But a vibrant devotional life comes from being connected to the source, and that's the most important thing to remember. You need to be connected to the source, Jesus Christ. A vibrant devotional life is the fruit of devotion to Christ. A vibrant devotional life is the fruit of devotion to Christ. Once we are connected, then we can cultivate it. If we stop cultivating, we will eventually become disconnected with the source. That's why it's so important to cultivate it, to work at it. Some other words for cultivate are to develop, to grow, to keep active, to keep alive. I love Christ so much that I will devote my time to him, to learn to know him better, to learn to know him more every day. And it's through consistent, intentional practices that will draw us closer to God, and grow in our spiritual life. And I just have a couple points here of some ways that we can cultivate our devotional life. Number one, prioritize daily scripture reading and meditation. It's part of what our devotional life is about. Turn to Joshua 1. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Our spiritual growth begins with God's word. That is where we learn about who God is. It's where we learn about what he is like, what he wants us to do. It's where we learn how he wants us to live. Just as Joshua was instructed to meditate in the law day and night, we too should make scripture reading a daily priority. Psalm 1. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you find delight in God's word? If you are connected to the source of life, Jesus Christ, and you make reading God's word a priority, I believe that you will find it to be a delight. You will look forward to that time of connecting in God's word, reading. Psalm 119 has many verses about loving God's word, meditating on it. I'll read a few. Verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Is that how we find it? Psalm, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do we love God's word? Do we love getting into it, digging into it, reading it, and learning from it? Some practical tips for Bible reading. Set aside a dedicated time each day to read the Bible. Develop it into a habit. Make it a habit. Make it a part of your everyday. Do it at a time when you don't struggle to fall asleep. Also, not rushing through it. If you are rushed, if you are cramming it into your day, you probably won't find it meaningful, but take enough time. Come with an attitude of need. I have need in my life. Lord, what do you want me to learn today? Have an open mind and a heart to let God speak to my need. Maybe use a Bible reading plan if you need structure. I've used devotional books already. They can be good. Just make sure that you're feeding primarily on the Word of God and not primarily on man's stories and thoughts. And then meditate on what you have read. Think on it. Ponder it. Think of ways you can apply it to your life. I like to have my devotional time in the morning so that I can take it with me throughout my day. Try to remember it as you go through your day, what you have read. See if you can remember it by the time the day is done. Try to pick out at least one key thought that you can take with you to think about through the day. Remember, regular Bible reading illuminates our way, it guides our decisions. We need to make it a priority. Number two, develop a consistent prayer practice. Prayer is our lifeline to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we are to pray without ceasing. And I believe that shows how important it is to make it a part of our life, to be in a constant state of prayer. It's hardly possible to pray words all day long, but I believe we can live with a constant attitude of prayer and be ready to pray whenever the need arises. Have that attitude that when something comes up, you're up against something, you know where to go. In your Christian hymnal, turn to 355. prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and say, "Behold, he prays." Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gate of death, he enters heaven with prayer. I like that last thought there, or the last verse. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. It's our life breath that we can, that we need to have that connection with God. Colossians 4. And verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Another translation says it this way, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Prayer is communication with God. It's how we talk to him. It's how he talks with us. It's very necessary for keeping our relationship alive with him. Devote yourself to prayer. Be committed. Be persistent. Prayer should not be an afterthought, but it should be a central part of our daily life. Being watchful. This suggests an attitude of alertness, being aware of God. Have an expectation in your prayer life. Be watchful for opportunities to pray. Be watchful looking for answers to our prayers. Be aware of God working in our lives and in the world around us. And then be thankful. Gratitude should permeate our prayer lives. We will look at this point a little bit later. Also, some practical tips for prayer life. The same with Bible reading. Set a specific time to pray. Make it a part of your life. Connect with God. And then take time to listen. Don't do all the talking, but just like a regular relationship, it's a two-way communication. Keep a prayer list. That's helpful to stay on track, and also helps you to see when your prayers are answered. Also, it helps to not forget a need that you may have come across, and you write it down, you can remember it. And then don't just pray for all your needs and all your requests, but pray prayers of praise. Thank him for the blessings. Tell him how much you love him and why you love him. Send all the glory that comes your way to him. Ask him for opportunities to help you witness and to give you opportunities to serve. By following Paul's instructions here in Colossians to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, we can create a prayer life that's consistent, it's engaged, and it's positive. This kind of prayer practice will deepen our relationship with God and transform our lives. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Another aspect of our devotional life is faithful obedience in all things. Turn to 1 John 3. We can have a Bible reading. We can have a prayer life. But then what are we going to do with that? What we read, what we pray about. We need to obey. 1 John 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We are to do as we have read. Obey. We already talked about a vibrant devotional life is more than just a few minutes a day. It's a lifestyle. That's why we say a devotional life. God is calling us to a lifestyle of devotion, devoted to him, devoted to his kingdom. If I spend 15 minutes a day reading the Bible and praying, and then go on the rest of my day living how I want to and living for myself what I want to do, who am I really devoted to? As we cultivate our devotional life, we must remember that true devotion to God overflows into every area of our life. Obedience, every area, every aspect. My devotion to God should guide my decisions, how I spend my money, my giving, what vehicle I drive, what clothes I wear, what I do in my spare time, how I relate to authority, what church I go to, who I marry, and the list goes on. Basically, faithful obedience in all things. If we want a vibrant devotional life, I believe we're going to have to be obedient to what God says in his word about our everyday life. God calls us to a life of cross-bearing, living a holy life. Turn to John 12. I'd like to look at another example of someone who is devoted to God. John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Mary's devotion to Christ motivated her to this act of obedience. It was an act of sacrifice. She gave up a very valuable possession. It took a lot of money. I'm not sure how much, but some say a year's wages. What am I willing to give up for devotion to Christ. It was also a humble act of service to our master. The criticism from others in that room did not deter her from focusing on serving Jesus. And it was also an act of deep personal worship and love to Jesus. How is our obedience? How is our devotion? James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." To complete our devotional life, we need to obey. Another point that I have is cultivating a grateful heart. I think that's part of our devotional life. Gratitude is not just a positive attitude. It's a crucial component of a vibrant devotional life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's a command from God. Give thanks. And I believe it's the opposite of complaining. When we are thankful, we are more attuned to God's work, more aware of his presence in our lives. Remembering past blessings, how God has helped us before, strengthens us to face the current challenges we go through. Also, a heart full of thankfulness overflows in praise to God. Think about an unthankful, negative, grumpy person. Is their heart swelling with gratitude and praise to God? Of course not. They're thinking only about themselves and their problems. A complaining heart is not a thankful heart. We need to have a thankful heart. When we have a grateful heart, it shifts our focus from what we lack to the abundance that God has provided. We may face difficult, trying days, but think about the good things. Think about how God has helped you. A grateful heart is a fertile soil for a vibrant devotional life. It opens our eyes to God's work, deepens our trust, fuels our worship, strengthens our prayer life. And then another point for a devotional life, for a strong devotional life, is to plug in to a spiritual brotherhood. You may think your devotional life is personal, and it is. But I think when we as people, when we practice personal devotional life, it will spill into the brotherhood. We weren't meant to walk this journey alone. We need to plug into a church brotherhood that provides support, provides accountability, and opportunities for growth. And our personal devotion can be enriched, can be enhanced by meaningful, positive connections with other believers. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We need the support. We need the exhortation of each other. We need the encouragement from each other. We should be able to give and receive encouragement from others. I've been blessed many times by a word of encouragement from you brothers, and I need to remember to reciprocate that back. Accountability within a brotherhood is important. I think we could probably do better with this one, to check in with each other. How are you doing? Are you having victory? How's your devotional life going? Also, corporate worship enhances personal worship. Again, many times I've been blessed by a devotional, by a topic, by a message, and it inspires me on to, in my personal worship at home, to keep on seeing and hearing other faithful believers share and pray encourages me to keep on and not give up. Also, serving alongside others can be a form of devotion. It's a huge encouragement for us personally. Galatians 6:10 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We need each other's help. We need each other's input. This is probably the hardest test of our devotional life, to allow the brotherhood to help me with my burden, whatever that may be. May God help us in that. Cultivating a devotional life is a lifelong journey that requires intentionality and commitment. And as we prioritize these five areas, scripture reading, prayer, obedience, gratitude, and brotherhood, may we find ourselves drawing closer to God and experience a vibrant devotional life. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.